Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do.
This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
We're live. It's Friday night. It's the MGC Roundtable, everybody's favorite. Call in tonight, 347-677-1835. That's 347-677-1835. We're going to be talking tonight about Amendment 2. It's going to be on your ballot on August the 7th. Lisa's in the studio somewhere. I don't know who else will be dropping in tonight. Everyone's invited. Give us a call, 347-677-1835. I'm about done with this temperature. I am about done. How are you, Lisa? There's Lisa.
Hi, Dave. Good to be with you.
You about done with this hot?
Oh, been done with it. Day before yesterday, actually.
I got the job done yesterday. Day before yesterday. Well, flashback all the way to May. My next-door neighbor goes out and buys a rose tree and a beautiful knockout rose bush and brings them home. And as of yesterday, a day before yesterday, they were still sitting in pots on his front porch, withering away to nothing. So if you can imagine here in this heat and with all the dirt in southwest Missouri being about like concrete, my wife pops in and says, I've got a project for you. And I said, well, what is it? And she says, the next door neighbor gave me these two roses. I want to plant them and see if we can save them. So, yeah, so there I was out there. I went out day before yesterday and dug. I had to use the tiller first and go over the area I was going to do about 10 times just to get pounded down through the concrete to about 8 to 12 inches. And then I dug a couple of holes that weren't quite deep enough to set these roses in, and filled the holes with water and let them set overnight. And we had pretty good drainage, so it drained well. And then I did the same thing the next morning, filled the holes with water, and then last night, just after supper, I went out and planted these cotton picking roses. I don't know if they'll live or not. They're going to have a hard time catching hold in this heat.
I was just going to say, did you have to use a jackhammer to get a hole in your soil?
Boy, I just about did. Yeah, the tiller cut down there pretty good. Of course, everything that I dug out was just crusty. But I watered it, wet it all down real well, and let it set, and then filled the holes with water, and then wet it all down, all the stuff I dug out again the next day, and filled the holes with water again. So I drained some water down in there and managed to get the shovel back down in the hole and dig the hole quite easily after that, deep enough to plant the roses. And then, of course, I kept all the water, all the dirt wet, kept watering as I was backfilling the hole. So I think they have a chance.
Oh, good luck with that. I've got a couple of plants that I bought earlier in the spring that I still haven't planted yet either, because you can't plant anything in this.
Oh yeah, it really is hard. I've totally lost the tomatoes. The tomatoes are gone. The green beans are gone. The cucumbers are still trying to put on some fruit. The cherry tomatoes are doing fine, but how's everything at your place going? The grass, of course, is just crunchy underfoot.
Oh, I have no grass. I'm really worried that I'm going to have to totally reseed my lawn.
Oh, no, no. I don't think. No? It'll come back. It just goes to sleep. Yeah, no, as soon as we get some rain, it'll come back.
And the ground is just, I mean, the cracks in the dirt are so deep you can't see the bottom.
Did you get any rain at all yesterday?
No. Oh, and okay, I've probably had 3/4 of an inch of rain since May, and,
yeah.
And I'm telling you, I live near the Highway 40, Highway 70 split, and every time the rain comes across Missouri, And I've watched it every time it dries up or breaks apart at the Highway 4070 split, every single time. And it goes around us to the north and the south and rains like crazy everywhere else, and it never hits here. So we've maybe had 3/4 of an inch of rain since May. Now, we have had I have had a bumper crop of tomatoes, and I'm getting some squash and zucchini,
yeah.
But watering it like crazy. My water bill's outrageous.
Uh-huh.
So other than that, though, I mean, I have no grass.
I couldn't water mine. I was putting a half inch of water on my stuff every day, and I just couldn't get enough water on it. It was just shriveling up and dying.
Yeah, I kind of gave up on my grass. I don't think I'm going to have to reseed it.
Oh, I never water the grass. I mean, it's not worth the water to me. We'll see if you have to reseed it. I really think I don't know what kind of grass you've got, but I've never had any kind of grass that didn't just go dormant when it was
yeah.
bad and then spring right back when the rain started coming.
I like your answer.
Okay, we're going to talk about Amendment 2 tonight, and we're going to talk about a couple of things about Amendment 2. You folks out there calling at 347-677-1835, 347-677-1835. I know everybody has an opinion by now on Amendment 2. Lisa, I'm kind of really, really astonished that with the primary about a week away, we haven't heard more push to pro or con on this amendment on the radio. We've got nothing down here. Do you have anything up there?
Not a word.
Yeah.
Not a word.
Yeah, nobody's talking about it at all. And you know, we're not talking about some law that they put in the books that you can or can't raise more than 5 puppies on your property. We're talking about an amendment to the Constitution of the state of Missouri.
Well, I think people think it's a slam dunk.
Yeah,
I'm sure that
I'm afraid I think so too. But
yeah,
but
I don't agree with it. But I think people think that it's a slam dunk, and that you know, since it's a primary ballot issue, that all the conservatives are going to come out and just vote yes for it. And I think they will.
Oh, I think they will too. I'm with you. I think it's going to pass by a probably the same kind of percentage that that Obamacare nullification passed, of probably 60 to 70%, maybe a little bit more. I think it's going to be overwhelming, and I think that it was wise of the deciders to put it on a primary election, because as you and I have discussed before, it is the activists pretty much only who come out for the primary elections, and that plays in favor of the proponents, in my opinion, and against the opponents. So I think it's going to pass by a large margin, but neither of us think it should. And we're going to talk about that after the break. You can talk about it too at 347-677-1835. This is the Friday Night Roundtable. It's Dave and Lisa right now. We're looking for some other people maybe to join us here in a bit, and we're looking for you to call in and get your voice in on Amendment 2. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio, and this is the Friday Night Hour of Truth. We'll be right back.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, it's Christmas in July and August and September. Last year on Christmas Eve, MGC paid off the department store layaway accounts of 2 Missouri families who were not able to provide Christmas for their children. This year, we would like to at least double that number, and in an attempt to do that by the holiday season, we're asking you to consider donating a few dollars toward that effort. We know the holiday season is the most difficult time of year to ask for donations, so we're planning ahead and asking you to give whatever you can so that a few Missouri families will be able to celebrate at Christmas. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa page. All the details are there for you to donate by PayPal, check, or money order. Conservatives have proven to be the most generous and most benevolent people in the United States. Please help us with this very small charitable project.
Santa Claus is coming to town. There it is. We're back. We're live. It's Lisa and it's Dave, and it's Friday Night Roundtable on Missouri Grassroots Radio Network. Lisa, we've got $101 now in Secret Santa, so we're getting a little movement. People can go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and donate a little bit to that charitable cause. We stretch this out. Remember, because we had what I thought was a little bit disappointing participation last year, but then given the understanding, we didn't even start the thing till the second week of December, and that is really the worst time to ask people for money, don't you think?
Yeah, people are kind of stretched. I think people, the economy's not good anyway, but it really, for this particular charity, it doesn't take a lot of money. A couple dollars,
Right.
Just about everybody will take care of it.
Exactly. Yeah. If every one of our members would give $2, man, we would have it made, wouldn't we? But we're conservatives and libertarians, conservative Lisa and libertarian Dave, and so we don't believe that it's our right to tax you to go out and steal your money for our favorite charities the way the progressives do. So what we do is we get on here and we beg you to help us out by going to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, click on the Secret Santa button, read all about Secret Santa, and call us here if you want. Ask us any questions. Email us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, Santa@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. If you have questions about how this goes, one more thing I want to say about Secret Santa, and then we're going to move on to tonight's topic, and that is every penny, there is zero overhead in this charity. We don't charge you for the gas that we use to drive to the store and do this thing. There's no salaries involved. There's no advertising dollars involved. I will, and any of the executive committee members who want to split this with me, we will make sure that we go over what you folks donate by a couple of dollars only, and we'll pitch in that couple of dollars or $5 or $10 or whatever it is to make sure that we use every penny that you donate for this Christmas. So there will be no carryover. There will be no slush fund. Every penny that you send will go directly to this cause. And I think that's important. You see so many charities out there with 65 and 70% overhead Vaughn did a whole show on that, remember, of charities where very, very little was going to the actual operation of the charity, and we had CEOs of charitable organizations making $1 million a year. So, Lisa, I heard you say that you're opposed to – well, okay, let's get some background for these folks. Amendment 2 is called the Religious Freedom Amendment. Am I right?
That's the way I understand it. Yes, it is.
And it's really out there to guarantee you the right to practice your religion as you see fit. And who could possibly, Lisa, be against that?
Well, and I think that we need to kind of, before we get into the debate, we need to stress very seriously, no one that I know of, you, me, anybody who's going to oppose this amendment, I think we all agree in principle, yes, we all should be able to exercise the right to choose and exercise our own religion as we see fit. Nobody disagrees
with
that.
Or refuse to exercise any.
Absolutely. Everybody should agree with that. I think we all agree in principle that, yes, we're all free to exercise our religion as we see fit or not, and the government should not be involved in that at all. That is not the question here. The question is, and at least in my mind, is how are we going about that, and why are we doing it in this way?
Okay, and to preface that, then before we go on with it with what you're saying, but to preface it, I mean, because this is part of what you're saying, I have in front of me open the little brown book distributed by Robin Carnahan, Secretary of State, entitled The Constitution of the State of Missouri, and I have it open right now to Article 1, Section 5, and it's only five sentences, and so I'm going to read it. All men have the natural and indefeasible right to worship Almighty God according to the dictates of their own consciences. No human authority can control or interfere with the rights of conscience. No person shall, on account of his religious persuasion or belief, be rendered ineligible to any public office or trust or profit in this state, be disqualified from testifying or serving as a juror, or be molested in his person or estate. But this section shall not be construed to excuse acts of licentiousness, so you can't strip on Main Street and say that it's part of your religion, nor to justify practices inconsistent with the good order, peace, or safety of the state, or with the rights of others. Now, that is our current Constitution. So carry on with your thought there, Lisa. That was getting pretty interesting.
Well, I mean, I think that's pretty much it. I don't think that we need this amendment. I think it's good to go. And here we go again. I mean, you're always going to hear me fall back on the judiciary. If you follow the Constitution and you've got a judiciary who follows the Constitution, you don't need to write extraneous language in extraneous legislation to prop up the Constitution or the
rules we already had.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, that's
my brain. But yeah, there's the heat. You don't need extraneous legislation to prop that up. I mean, it's already there. If you're enforcing it, you've already got it. And if you're going to write new legislation or you're going to amend the Constitution yet again, who's going to enforce it? You know, they're not enforcing what we've got now. How do you know they're going to enforce this?
Absolutely, absolutely. You cannot legislate to an already out of control judiciary. You've got to either fix the judiciary or just forget about it because you can't make new rules to a judiciary that already doesn't follow the old rules. Now, the argument though is not about the judiciary. The argument that I'm hearing from my good friends who are proponents of this is about a high school principal who says to a child, you can't pray here over your brought from home lunch or even your school bought lunch. You can't pray at your desk there before you take that algebra test. What do you say to these people that seem to maybe have a point that some principal or some school superintendent or even some school board is making these kinds of rules apparently contrary to what we would understand the constitutional right of that student to be?
It's just exhausting. Okay, on one hand, you have local control of schools. Okay, so if you have local control of schools and you've got a school board that's making that kind of decision based on the rules of that school district and the people of that school district support that, that's fine. However, if they do not and they want to challenge it because it is a constitutional issue, I would agree, then go, challenge it. And you should have a judiciary that supports that because it's constitutional. It should really be a no-brainer. The problem is that we do not have, and I think it falls to the judiciary. I think we have allowed our judiciary to run amok, and they, are unsupervised and unchecked by the legislature, whose job it is to do so. And therefore, I will always contend that while we're watching the legislature and the executive branches like hawks, we have totally ignored the judiciary, who is really the one that's undermining the culture of this republic. So, if the branches are all working in concert the way they should be working, all checking and balancing each other, you shouldn't have a problem with an issue that comes up like this. They're not.
So basically it isn't right then if some principal did in fact tell a child that they couldn't pray before their algebra test. It isn't right, are you saying, for us to pass some more strict legislation for the judiciary to know that they should go down and tell this principal to follow the Constitution?
I think we've already got a Constitution that says that you can do it.
Well,
if the same school district is allowing a benediction before a commencement exercise, or sometimes you see these things before basketball games or whatever, and they're gonna sit there and stop a student from quietly praying at their desk, before a math test or something. Seriously, I can't imagine that you could take that into a court of law and have that stand up. It's in the Constitution. I mean, the exercise of the freedom of religion. It's it's there.
Right.
Now, you know, if your school, if you have chosen to live in a school district where, it, you know, it's in the covenants of your school district that, you know, there will be it's a totally secular school district. There will be no exercises of religion, of any form, and all of the people of the school district agree with that. You know, I mean, you do have the right to challenge that within your school district. It's a local, maybe a local control issue. I'm thinking maybe, you know, it's kind of a stretch. I still think the constitutional issue is a bigger voice there. But, you know,
well,
bringing more legislation in it or more amendments to the Constitution, I think, is just, you know, it's futile. And nobody's going to enforce it anyway.
Yeah, and I say this, and this is where I'm at on it. According to the Constitution, if everything was done, if everything was perfect, if everything was done constitutionally, and I'm not saying that we need to fix the Constitution, because if everything's not being done constitutionally, we need to fix what's not being done constitutionally. There's nothing we need to do to the Constitution. We need to fix what's not being done constitutionally. But if in a perfect world where everything is being done according to the Constitution, in my mind, the school should be secular. Now, the student needn't be. The student has a right to pray. The student has a right to express his religious opinion. The school does not. The school is an agent of the state. And as such, the school cannot establish or favor a religion. Now, that's the way I read the Constitution.
Yeah, okay. And so what also, are you going to prevent the schools from teaching the different religions as well within the district, you know, as part of the curriculum? Are you going to pick and choose what they can teach?
I would not. I would say the Constitution allows them to teach the different religion as long as they don't favor a religion, because favoring a religion is an establishment of religion. A school could have a course or a semester or whatever on comparative religion, sure. Don't you think?
Well, I would think so, and I think it's probably a good idea if you want to teach, you know, religions across the board for informational purposes.
Sure.
You know, I mean, there was a big debate not too long ago about teaching evolution versus creationist curriculums. And maybe teaching them both in the schools. I mean, that was kind of
right.
A thing not so long ago. So, you know, I don't think it's a curricular issue, to be really honest with you. I really do think it's a constitutional issue. And I think what it really boils down to is that, you know, you've got a judiciary that has gone off the rails and that is unmonitored and that gets to operate under the cover of darkness because nobody's watching. And they do what they darn well please. So.
Yeah.
People are tired of the judiciary. You know, if people are tired of the judiciary not upholding their oath of office, or you know, then let's impeach somebody. You know, you impeach one judge for not upholding their oath and not upholding, supporting, and defending their Constitution. That stuff will stop real quick.
Yep.
But you don't really have, I think, honestly, a legislature that has the backbone to challenge the judiciary. I think the network and the good old boy network is too close and too tight. They're not going to do that.
Right. So now, as you know, there's a big brouhaha going on here over Prop E. You remember that? We talked about that last week, I believe. The Secretary of State having really fiddled with the ballot language for Prop E. So wisely now, our legislatures did take it upon themselves to write the ballot language for Amendment 2. So when you go to the poll on the 7th, and here what we're trying to do is we're going to decide right now, Lisa, between you and I and anyone who calls in, whether this is just nothing more than a reiteration of the Constitution that we already have. Shall the Missouri, this is what's going to be on your ballot when you go, and you're going to vote yes or no on this. Shall the Missouri Constitution be amended to ensure that the right of Missouri citizens to express their religious belief shall not be infringed? Now, does it sound like I just read that 4 minutes ago?
Right.
I mean,
I think it's already there.
Yeah.
We're done.
And that school children have the right to pray and acknowledge God voluntarily in their schools. Isn't that already there?
You know, I'm going to go out on a limb here. and risk getting everybody in the state of Missouri really angry with me. But if people, if Christians especially, because I think Christians are being persecuted right now in the culture, if Christians want to make a stand on these issues and fight back, I think they need to do so not legislatively. You know, you can't legislate these kinds of issues. I think that you really need to band together and strengthen your churches. I don't think your churches are very strong.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, going to the legislature and going to the government to ask them to solve your problems is not the way to get it done. I think
that's
you
right.
need to go out into the culture and strengthen your churches and strengthen your base there and make that voice much stronger, you know, and by that way, I think when people go to the polls, if you have a strong cultural Christian base and all of those people vote, and politicians know that when they're campaigning, you're not going to have these kinds of problems, and it might be a little bit easier to get the support of maybe monitoring the judiciary and monitoring, you know, the other parts of the legislature to stop writing all this extraneous legislation. I think Christians are just as guilty as the left of asking the government to solve their problems.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to talk about that after the break. But we're not ready for the break yet, and I agree with you 100%. I'm telling you, look back to the you're a girl of the 60s. Well, you were a kid of the 60s. I was a boy of the 60s, a young man of the 60s. Look back to Martin Luther King. I mean, what would happen if instead of marching up and down in front of the Capitol demanding an amendment to the Constitution, if Monday morning after a Sunday service in every church in the state, 12,000 kids bowed their heads at noon and prayed over their meal?
What would happen?
Yeah, what would happen? Wouldn't we get more done there than by making a silly amendment to the Constitution, either complaining that the judiciary is not doing their job? If that's true, then they're going to twist this around anyway, or that some principal is not doing his job, and if that's true, then he's not going to do it anymore under this reiteration of what we had before. What would happen if people just exerted this right? What would happen if it wasn't one little boy at the lunchroom who was being picked on by the principal, but three-fourths of the student body on Monday morning?
Yeah, I mean, I really think if the Christian culture wants to have a stronger voice, they need to do it outside of the government.
Yep.
And they really need to band together and strengthen those Christian churches and that Christian community outside of the government. I think it'll carry across all aspects of the culture if they do that.
It absolutely will. I've always said, and I blogged about this very sentence. I wrote a whole blog about this very sentence. But if conservatives, and I'm not a conservative, I'm a libertarian, but if conservatives who want to just absolutely spend an entire election on the one issue of abortion, or the entire election on the one issue of school prayer, if these people would worry a little bit less about making this a Christian nation and worry a little bit more about making it a nation of Christians, hell, we wouldn't have any more poor people. You know, we wouldn't have any more abortions. We wouldn't have any more of these problems.
I agree. I think the Christians are just as guilty, and I've said it before, of looking to the government to solve their problems instead of strengthening their own community. I think they'd be much stronger. I think we'd all be a whole lot better off if they would just, you know, work on strengthening their community outside of government rather than working on it inside of government.
I agree. And hold on to that point, because we're going to pick up there after the break. But before we go to the break, here is the third bullet on your ballot. This is the third point. So we start with, shall the Missouri Constitution be amended to ensure that the right of Missouri citizens to express their religious beliefs shall not be infringed, that school children have the right to pray and acknowledge God voluntarily in their schools, and that all public schools shall display a Bill of Rights of the United States Constitution. Now,
don't they have the Bill of Rights in the don't they teach the Constitution in the schools? Seriously,
the answer
we have
to
have an amendment to tell them to teach the Constitution in the schools?
Well, yeah, but now they have to put up a copy somewhere in the school. They have to have a display, a copy of the United States Constitution Bill of Rights. I don't have a problem with that. Heck, I mean, if you want to have the bill of...
Anyway, they should be teaching that in the school.
That's right. That's right.
Do you have to have an amendment to tell them to do that? I'm not sure.
No. And if you want it, if you want to make sure that that's posted on the wall, just 3 feet above the floor, 2 feet to the left of the principal's doorway in every school, you don't need to amend the Constitution for that. I mean, so we've already decided that point number one and point number two are useless, just fluff, just to use a Lisa term, Yankee Doodle legislation.
Exactly.
And point number three is something that some guy in the Department of Education of the state of Missouri could pound a gavel on the desk and do with the stroke of a pen. We don't need this amendment to the Constitution the way it's written on the ballot.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think all of those things are wonderful things to have. You need to have a storm of parents going into the schools telling them that that's what they want in the schools. You don't need to have government doing that for you.
No, because you already do. I mean, you already have that right reserved for you in both the United States Constitution and the Constitution of the state of Missouri.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay, well, we've solved that problem without any argument from our listening audience. We must be right on that, Lisa.
Well, we're always right, Dave.
Yeah, there you go. 347-677-1835. It's 347-677-1835. We're going to take a break now. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio Network. It's Friday Night Roundtable with Lisa and Dave. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about a point that Lisa made, and that is how the Christians, and specifically the Christian right, look to the government as much as the left to enforce their specific agenda.
Okay, Missouri Patriots, I don't have to remind you that our ancestors fought and died for our right to exercise our voices and shape government in the interests of the people. And yet, in most elections, less than 20% of the population bothers to vote. Gas prices are outrageous, the economy is a disaster, and we are being regulated to death. Bad government and weak leadership are destroying the American way of life on a national and state level, and it's time to send a message to Washington, D.C. and Jefferson City and tell them we have had enough. If you're not registered to vote, the deadline to be eligible to vote in the August primary is July 11th, and October 10th for the general election in November. The Patriot Revolution begins in 2012, and it happens at the polls. Vote in the August primary and the November general election, and bring a friend. The Constitutional Republic depends on it.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
I should turn my mic back on. We're back. It's the Friday Night Roundtable with Lisa and Dave. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio Network. We've decided, I want to talk about that commercial break there for a minute, Lisa. We're less than 10 days away now. You know that?
Hallelujah.
Yeah, it's coming fast. Well, hallelujah, yeah, because you want it over with, don't you? I'm excited about it, and I say hallelujah so that we can get past this and get on to the real fight, and that is the fight of putting the people who we choose a week from Tuesday night to represent the grassroots in positions where they can actually do some good and get rid of some of these. I look for Claire McCaskill, for example, to lose in the general election. So as we've said 100 times, Lisa. Given that the expectation is that Claire McCaskill is going to lose, for grassroots Missourians, this, a week from Tuesday, is the election. This is where we decide which one of these three people is going to be. We're deciding on who the next senator is going to be because Claire's going to lose. So look at these three and say which one of these is representative of limited government, of limited power to the government, of the constitutional principles that dictate this country and this state of fiscal responsibility. Which one of these three people are going to be it? Because you are voting on Tuesday when you go in and say, I want the Republican ticket on the next senator to represent the great state of Missouri in Washington, D.C. And that same sentiment bounces all the way down the line to your county commissioner.
That's right.
So what I want to do is I want you to set me up so that I can meet the woman behind that powerfully sultry voice that does our commercials.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the rest
that's
of it.
Lisa.
Go ahead.
That's Lisa. That's Lisa's voice there, and she does a good. You do a great job, Lisa.
Thank you, Dave.
No, thank you. So here we are. We've decided, Lisa, you and I, and nobody has dared argue with us that that this constitutional amendment, the way it's written on the ballot, the way it's presented to the voters, is Yankee Doodle legislation, is nothing but fluff. And then we said that that it's possible that with this there's an agenda that the right, specifically the evangelical right or the Christian right, is using to try to move their agenda along. And I agree with you. And to that point, I want to move on to something that really just irritates the devil out of me. We've got a Missouri grassroots grass fire alert going. It's still going on now, and it is encouraging people to do something about the dastardly, evil thing that Robin Carnahan did. And I say dastardly and evil because it was intentionally dishonest. It was intentionally misleading with the ballot language for Prop E, and we're not going to go into that. If you people want to know what the big fight there is, if you've absolutely been sleeping for 6 weeks, go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Grass Fire Alert and read all about it. And we've contended that probably part of the blame lies with the legislature, because they could have circumvented this cheating by Robin Carnahan by writing the ballot language themselves. And that is a serious contention coming from the right. You've heard that, haven't you, Lisa?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, so I want to take you behind, with that in mind, I want to take the listeners behind the ballot language for Amendment 2. The ballot language, as we've already said a couple of times, was, shall the Missouri Constitution be amended to ensure that the right of Missouri citizens to express their religious beliefs shall not be infringed, that school children have the right to pray and acknowledge God voluntarily in their schools, school children specifically have the right to pray and acknowledge God voluntarily in their schools, and that all public schools shall display the rights of the United States Constitution. Here is, if you vote yes to that, and who wouldn't? I mean, who doesn't want religious liberty in the state of Missouri? If you vote yes to that, you are voting yes to this. The General Assembly and the governing bodies of political subdivisions may extend to ministers, clergy persons, and other individuals the privilege to offer invocations or other prayers at meetings or sessions of the General Assembly or governing bodies. Lisa, where is that thing I just read in that ballot language written by these legislators?
Where's what thing?
The General Assembly and the governing bodies of political subdivisions may extend to ministers, clergy persons, and other individuals the privilege to offer invocations or other prayers at meetings or sessions of the General Assembly and governing bodies.
So the General Assembly is determining the religious expression?
Yes.
Is that a good thing?
No, it's not a good thing. And whether you think it's a good thing or a bad thing, where is it in the ballot language? This is what you're voting for if you vote yes, and all of these hypocrites up there screaming, If we'd written this language, we'd have been fair about it, are the ones that wrote this language. Where the heck is that thing I just read in that ballot language?
Right. Well, I have a problem with that in the first place because I don't want the General Assembly getting involved in that decision.
Right.
In the second place, I'm opposed to the ballot language to begin with. I'm opposed to the entire amendment to begin with.
Yes.
Okay. Let's back up a second and let's because we haven't had anybody come in to support this, and I know that there are a lot of people who support the amendment too. I have talked to some friends who really do support it.
They're afraid of you, Lisa. That's why they haven't called in tonight.
Yeah, I don't think so. But here's the feedback that I've a little bit of the feedback that I've been getting. Okay, and then we can talk about why I disagree with it. But okay, this is another opportunity for the people to have a referendum vote. Okay, this is another people for the, a chance for the people to go to the polls and say, you know, hey, we want to strengthen our Christian, our Christian chops here within our government. This is, just like we did with Prop C, for the Obamacare, we want an opportunity to have our voice heard. This is an opportunity for people to have their voice heard, and it's getting people to talk about the issue, which is important. We do want people to talk about the issue, but I'm not sure that we need to have an amendment to the Constitution to get that to happen. So, I think we kind of do need to throw some of those issues out on the table and discuss those issues because, those are all valid points, and probably some of the points that you and I probably agree with. I'm not sure that I really want – I think what all this boils down to is this just gives the legislature too much control over a religious freedom. In our politically correct culture right now, when we're so wonky about making sure that we, we have this Muslim thing kind of hovering over us, what if we were in New York and, we're dealing with the mosque thing and all of that? You've got a lot of that kind of thing going on. What if they, sway the other way? I think there are people out there kind of hovering around that idea. What if this sways the other way and kind of backfires on us and goes against, helps them also devalue the Christian religion even more than it's being valued now. It's being attacked in our culture. So what in this ballot language helps that along?
Well, absolutely. I agree with you. Because this paragraph that I just read that is part of the amendment that you would be voting yes for if you voted. This would be a part of the Constitution. The thing I just read will be part of the Constitution if you vote yes. Hidden from you in the ballot language. If you don't read this, you don't know that you're voting yes for this when you vote because it is not on the ballot at all, this part of the language. This is an establishment. And that was my argument the other day with a friend of mine on this thing. It sounds great, Now, the way it is now, where we can't establish religion, as I've suggested, the student, because he is allowed to exercise his religion, because he is a private citizen, because he is in no part a puppet or is the government his master, he is free to pray in school, whether he's a Muslim or a Christian. He's free to pray for the help of his deity on his algebra test. He is allowed to pray and thank his deity for his peanut butter sandwich at lunch. He's allowed to just bow his head and pray to his deity for no other reason than he feels like doing it. By the same token, currently, under the law, under the Constitution, in my crackpot libertarian opinion, the principal cannot stand up in front of the student body and lead the student body in a prayer, either Christian or Muslim, because the principal is an agent of the state. And for the principal to do so is for him to establish, as an agent of the state, a religion for that school and student body. Do you agree with that?
No.
You don't agree with me?
I don't think the principal should be allowed to do that.
Oh, no. That's what I just said. I said the student can, but the principal can't because the student is not establishing anything. He is merely exercising. The principal, as an agent of the state, is establishing if he does that. You agree with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So what this thing that I just read does is it allows the principal to stand up in front of the student body and say the or for the principal to have the Baptist minister or the Methodist minister come in every Monday morning and stand up in front of the student body and lead them in the Lord's Prayer. Glory, hallelujah, praise be, onward Christian soldiers, right? How great. I'm telling you right now that the people that vote yes on this with their eyes wide open because they think onward Christian soldiers is a wonderful thing are going to be screaming bloody murder when the principal is a Muslim.
Yeah, I would agree.
They're going to be tearing people's hair out and not their own when the principal is a Buddhist.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there is no doubt. Christians in this country are definitely under fire. They are under attack. No doubt about it. And, you know, do I want them to stand up and fight? I absolutely do, because without the Judeo-Christian values, you know, as the foundation of this country, we are sunk. You know, but I do not believe that they're going about it the right way with this amendment.
Nope.
You know, and I do think that this amendment has the potential to backfire and do the just the opposite thing.
I think
we've become accustomed to, you know, let's just write legislation because legislation is easy and it fixes everything and it's an easy fix. And, you know, legislators do it every day. They write 2,000 pieces of legislation every year that float through the legislature in one way or another. And, you know, instead of doing the right thing, the hard thing, and really cleaning up, you know, getting their hands dirty and cleaning up the mess and monitoring the judiciary and looking, you know, maybe looking a judge in the eye and saying, I'm sorry, you did the wrong thing. We're going to, you know, sanction you. We're going to, you know, put you up, you know, on impeachment charges for going against the Constitution or whatever. It's so hard for us to look someone that we've become familiar with in the eye and tell them, you know, we are no longer going to support you. We're going to sanction you. We're going to hold you accountable for your behavior. We don't do that in our culture anymore. We don't do it as Christians. We don't do it as a republic, as a government. We don't do that anywhere. So, you know, until we can get our backbones back and start holding people accountable, and, you know, that means people in our judiciary, that means, you know, people in our churches, that means people all across our culture, you know, I think we're sunk, and no amount of legislation and no amendments and is going to fix that problem.
I agree. I go to the dog park every morning, and there's a very dear friend of mine. My dad was a Baptist preacher. I was raised in the Baptist church. He was a hellfire and brimstone preacher, and there was no doubt if you were a born-again Christian when you sat in his sermon that the scorn and the admonition was directed at you. It wasn't directed at the lost soul out in the street who hadn't bothered coming in today. The correction was being directed at you, and you were being encouraged to fix whatever was wrong with you so that you could go out and do God's work. And that's just the way he was. I have a dear friend who's a minister, and every Monday morning he tells us what he talked about on Sunday, and it just is over and over and over again. It is, I talked about, you know, how people tend to put off the minor little things in life and the things that they don't have control over, they tend to put them off until tomorrow, until finally they catch. And I'm thinking, what the hell is this? This is all feel good. And this, you know, this isn't my friend. This is church after church after church where Christians are saying, we need to straighten up this country. We need to get things right. But let's, you know, let's don't offend ourselves from the pulpit. So, I mean, that goes directly to what you're saying. I mean, if Christians want to get it right, then Christians need to get it right.
Yep. This really, you know, I think it's just become uncomfortable for us as a culture to hold people accountable. You know, we all want it, and we're all angry at the way things have turned out because of us not doing it in the past, people not doing their jobs. But really, each and every one of us is responsible for that. You know, we've made our elected into rock stars. You know, we've started to worship those people instead of hold them accountable and look at them as our employees and the people that work for us and that serve us. And they've also adopted the attitude that they're rock stars and that they don't, you know, they don't answer to us. They answer to, you know, someone who's, they don't look at the people as their authority figure. So,
right.
I mean, that problem goes, that's a widespread problem that can be fixed, by the way, you know, with just a slight change of attitude. If people all, you know, and it's not hard, you know, you don't have to go banging on somebody's door and beating them over the head with a stick. You just have to go to the polls and cast a ballot.
Right.
You kick a few of these people out, and that attitude will change really quick. You impeach a judge here or there, that, you know, they're going to start following the Constitution and start ruling on statutes in the Constitution rather than case law.
Right.
You know, and if you kick a legislator out of office, they're going to start paying more attention to what their job really is instead of, you know, campaigning and blowing a bunch of smoke up your skirt and writing a bunch of extraneous legislation that really doesn't do anything to help you one way or another and secure your liberties and freedoms. They're going to change their attitude real fast once their job is threatened, because the only thing that politicians really care about are money and votes.
Yep.
And while, you know, you as an individual may not have money, you do have a vote.
That's right.
And if enough people start voting and exercising that right and that authority and that power, because there's a lot of power in your vote, things would change very quickly.
You go, Lisa. You go, Lisa. So listen, you're a homeschool mom, and I sent my kids to public school. I went to a public school. Did you go to a public school, Lisa?
I did.
Yeah. I know, and I assume you know, that it is a fact, a scientific fact, that giraffes didn't always have long necks. That giraffes had short necks, and that over a period of time, because food was getting scarce, giraffes developed this unique genetic situation that they passed on to offspring over this centuries, that their necks got longer and longer, and now they can feed off of the top of the trees where there is still ample food. That's pretty well documented. I mean, I'm a born again Christian, and I don't try to argue with that. I can go into the Chicago Museum of Natural Science, and I can see the bones that were there. I mean, I can go into any museum of natural science and I can see the dinosaurs. So I don't try to argue from a Christian perspective that the dinosaurs never existed.
Right.
Okay. Moving on here then. If the biology teacher has a lesson on the Paleozoic era and the dinosaurs and which dinosaur was biggest and who ate who and who ate what and who died first and who died second. Or a section on giraffes and how giraffes became long-necked creatures. And a student sets down to take the test on that section, and the teacher's question on the test is, how did giraffes get long necks? Tell me in 100 words or less. And the student simply writes, everything that you told me is a lie because God made giraffes just exactly the way they are now. What should happen to that student?
I think that's a local control thing. I mean, you could micromanage that issue till the cows come home. You know,
well, let's do. Here is the wording behind the amendment, the wording that does not appear on your ballot. This is what you're voting for if you vote yes on August 7th. Students may express their beliefs about religion in written and oral assignments free from discrimination based on the religious content of their work.
I don't think that the government has any business reaching that far into the school. I just don't.
Even the state government?
Oh, especially the state government.
That's a control thing.
If your local school wants to adopt that philosophy, then, and the parents all decide, you know, and tell the school board that that's what they want, then fine. But, you know, you do not want your government involved in those kinds of decisions and issues. And, you know, this as far as, don't get me started. We could talk about the state government and the schools until the cows come home and until I'm blue in the face, and I'm almost blue in the face now. You do not want your government making those kinds. They make too many decisions now for your schools.
Right.
You know, and, you know, they should not have any business dictating curriculum. I mean, we can talk about Common Core and all that kind of stuff, too, but, you know, they write legislation every year. I mean, they had ballroom dancing legislation last year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my God, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And why aren't the people outraged over things like that? You know, if the parents want that in their schools, fine. You know, that is a decision for the people that are putting kids in those individual schools for them to deal with their individual school boards. But why are we paying legislators to sit around and make those kinds of decisions? You know, if Christians want that kind of atmosphere, then develop that culture outside of the government. You know, develop that.
Yeah, open your own school, for Christ's sake. I mean, that's, you're allowed to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Get the heck out of, you know, get the government out of my school.
Yeah. And finally, wrapping up here from my rant, that no student shall be compelled to perform or participate in academic assignments or educational presentations that violate his or her religious beliefs. Now, I don't have any problem with that. I really don't. As you say, on a case-by-case basis, my parents, I was brought up in a Southern Baptist church. I was embarrassed every year in the fifth and sixth grade when they had the gym thing. It went 3 or 4 weeks on dancing, and my parents wrote a note to the school that said I wasn't allowed to participate in dancing, and so I sat out in the hall, and that's fine. I don't have any problem with that going on a case-by-case basis, but in that situation that I gave you before with this last phrase, this student can say, I'm not going to sit in that biology class. I'm not going to take that biology class because they talk about giraffes getting long necks over the centuries.
You know, we don't have time for me to go into another rant, but, you know, we've had public education in this country for a very long time, and we have managed to survive for a very long time up until the past, you know, not so much recent history, for us to be able to teach kids reading, writing, and arithmetic without all of this extraneous garbage, you know, muddying the waters. You know, people have been able to teach their kids their religious beliefs and, you know, their sexual beliefs and all of their own personal values without having to bring it into the schools.
Yep.
Why are we doing this?
Right.
Why?
I agree. And here's the place where I'm going to get everybody mad in the state of Missouri angry with me tonight, Lisa. You on the Christian right, and I say this as a born-again Christian myself, you on the Christian right, the problem I have with this amendment is you, Christian, are a liar. This ballot language you give these people out here has nothing to do with what you're trying to sneak in behind the ballot. You are lying to the people of the state of Missouri with this ballot. And that's where I'm at on this thing right here.
Right. We're going to bring this up a little bit more on Wednesday. We're going to talk about this, and I'm hoping to be able to bring some people on to bring the pro side of it into it in case we're missing something. We want to give them a voice. But, you know, just to end, you and I have bashed on it pretty well. You know, we want to make sure that everybody understands the principle we all agree on. You know, we want the Christian philosophy to be strong. We want that foundation to be good in our country because we all believe that that's the foundation of our constitutional republic.
Okay.
Vehicle where we're going with it.
We've ranted through our last break, so I want to take a couple of minutes. I want you to tell us, is that as far ahead as you are with your Wednesday nights?
Yeah, we're going to talk about Amendment 2, and we're also going to talk about gun control with the recent Colorado shootings and maybe how that relates to Missouri and how how gun control is the gun control laws relate to Missourians.
That's Lisa on Wednesday nights with the Culture Vigilante Hour. Lisa spotlights Missouri Patriot groups. She talks about Yankee Doodle legislation, and she gets right down to the nitty-gritty of the culture of being conservative. On Tuesday nights, we have some very interesting stuff. We have Vaughn Carricker. I don't know what Vaughn's talking about Tuesday night, but I'm sure it'll be exciting. It'll be interesting. Go back and listen to her last couple. She spent 2 weeks talking about elder care and problems that the elderly face in this state and what the government is or isn't doing to help that problem. Mondays and Thursdays, I have the Hour of Truth. This Monday, I'm having Shane Scholler and
we're trying to get Peter Kinder.
Lieutenant Governor Kinder.
We're not quite sure if Peter Kinder is going to call in. I did talk to Peter Kinder yesterday.
Okay.
We have not heard from his people to schedule the interview.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. If not, I'm sure that Shane Scholler will be glad to spend a little bit more time with us because he is you talked to him the other night. Now, he is huge on this voter ID thing, isn't he?
He sounds like he's pretty solid on it, and that'd be great.
Good, that'd be great. So there it is. That's Missouri Grassroots Radio Network. That's our lineup. And, of course, next Friday we'll have another one of these very exciting roundtables for you where we Lisa and I get together and piss off everybody in the state of Missouri. And you got anything else to close with, Lisa?
I think we've done enough.
I think we've done enough tonight, too. So that's it. This is Dave. That over there is Lisa. This is the Friday night MGC Roundtable, and we're going to call it a wrap. Good night, everybody.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.